to Revelation chapter 2. And actually, this is kind of part two of, I think, what we began last week, the series we began last week. And it's just all about continuance, continuing to the end, I would have to say. And that actually further down the road can be just as great as how we first began. So, I'm going to open it up in a different set of scriptures. Yeah, in Revelation chapter 2, this is interesting. John the Apostle is on this island called Patmos. And actually, he is on that island with a bunch of crazy people. It's interesting. And he never really thought that he'd be there. It had to be unique. But he decides that he's not going to... he's on this island because he's been exiled on there. They send him to the island. Can you imagine if any of you were just one day, your punishment is they're going to take you and they're going to fly you to an island of crazy people and drop you there. Anybody interested in that?
Mm-hmm. No.
No? I mean, it's intense. But you know what's interesting is too, but before they did that, or around that time, whatever, the reason he lived a ripe old age, actually. But they tried to burn him alive in oil, but he didn't die. So what should it? Would you prefer to be on the island of crazy people or be burned alive in oil? So it's on that island, though, that we get the book of Revelation. And in it, it's interesting that God sends him, basically has him pen seven letters to seven churches, okay? And we're going to look at those, and there's a lot we could talk about those letters, but I just want to talk about the material of those letters because that's really what we're looking at. This is not a Bible college class or theological class, but rather this is devotional in the sense of what principles that we could take from it. So, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus in verse 2, write these things, says he, that holds the seven stars that represent angels who walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which represent the churches. And he's talking to this one church. He says, I know your works and your labor and your patience, and you cannot bear them which are evil, and you've tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. You've borne it. You've had patience, and for my name's sake, you've labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Now, this verse has probably been the subject of, I don't know, thousands, tens of thousands of sermons and meditation. Because God is saying, I'm happy for a lot of things that you do. But I am upset because, a little upset, you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and repent and do the first works, or I will come unto you quickly and remove your candlesticks and out of this place, except you repent. But this you have, and you, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So this church of Ephesus has a problem. But they also have great things about it. One of the great things about it is that let's look at verse 2. They've been patient and they can't stand things that are evil. And anyone has tried to call themselves apostles that are not, you found them liars. You've labored, you've not fainted. And also in verse 6, you've hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. the Ephesians, which is the place where Paul labored for about 3 years. And I could go into this, but I'm not going to go fully into this tonight. But I try to stay with me on this because there's a really important thing that we need to glean from this. This church, Paul was with them. And it was said, this is how much he was with them. He began teaching them, like, that's where we get the, by the way, this is where we get kind of the idea of the rap session that our ministry has, where we will have, like, Bible college and also times just around the Word of God. And, but theirs was daily. If you go to Acts, let me see. Chapter 19. And it says in verse 9, basically he had come to Ephesus. He separated himself and was with the disciples there. And he held daily discussions in the lecture room. And it said, basically, we're guessing from about 10 till 3. That's what commentators are saying. This is verse 9 and verse 19. So 10 to 3 every day. Paul was with them for 3 years. He basically took care of his own needs, but he taught them daily. And then there was at some point when he is going to leave them. And in chapter 20, right around verse 17, he talks about leaving them. But what did he teach for those 3 years? We get a lot of it in his letter that he sent to them called, and that's the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians, there are some very important things he says here. And one of them is that they were to walk in love. That they were to be followers, basically, of Paul. And that's in Ephesians of God as dear children. And that we would walk in love. So that's in chapter 5. And then in verse 3... chapter 3, that they were to be rooted and grounded in love and that they would know the length, the height, the breadth, and the depth so that we could know the love of God. So this is all interesting. He's talking about them that they should so saturate themselves in the love of God as well as other things that are discussed in this book. But now we find them... And just before he leaves, he gives them a warning. And this is chapter 20 of Acts. And he said, listen, when I leave, wolves are going to come among you. And they are going to try to basically destroy the flock. And he tells them that in Acts chapter 20. And he said, they're going to come in and they're going to tell you things. And basically he said, I want you to watch and be careful. Now we're years later. Some say 30 years later, we're after this time. And guess what? Exactly what he said has happened. But here's the thing. What did these wolves come in here to do? He said, I want you to watch. Did they watch for the wolves? Yes. But they missed perhaps the most important wolf of all, according to what God is saying. These Ephesians, and this is our main point. I didn't know how long this was going to be tonight, so I'm kind of just throwing it out here of however God takes it. But they learned how to hate, and they lost how to love. That is a big thing that we have to be careful with as Christians. And maybe at that table it triggered some thoughts that, I'll tell you that that is part of the challenge for me as a teacher. That I have to know how to hate. God is not saying don't hate. He says, I understand it. Know how to be patient. Know how to endure. You know, but when a person endures, you see a little bit of a strain on their face a little bit, right? Like an endurance runner. If you've ever watched a marathon or whatever, they're not all like Susan runs some, you know, they're not like, hey, you're on the like 15th, you know, whatever. It's like talking, chatting it up. So how was your day? You know, you're concentrating on breathing, right? And you have one thing in mind, the end goal. So endurance is not a chit-chatty time. We're not all hanging out. And when we endure, those who did most of that late-nighter or all-nighter with the balloons, you know, I'll be at like 3 a.m. or so. You're not like, you know, or like, you know, Saturday at times you are enduring. And honestly, conversation is little at some points, but not, you know, you're enduring. And that's ideal. I mean, that's ideal. There'll be times when, you know, you're studying for something and there is endurance involved, and you cannot have that, time of like, there's none of that. Endurance is endurance. It's strenuous. Physical therapy is like that. There is, Jonathan's grandmother has vertigo, and they're training her, and they do a lot of, they shake her, they like, you know, it's interesting how she was describing the, the therapy sessions. And the fellow's like, they do what? That sounds abusive. But it's like she's explaining what had dropped, fallen. I didn't understand. I started getting queasy at one point. I just sat quiet. I just stared at her, pretended to be very much interested, but hoped she was going to stop. But because I just couldn't handle it. I don't do that. I don't do that stuff well, you know. So endurance, like when we would visit Jordan in the hospital, she had always a scowl on her face. But she, not because she was angry, but her body was trying to endure while it healed. And I understand, I mean, I was told that when I had my back operation that I had a really intense expression on my face too all the time. But you're dealing with so much pain, you're trying to get butt through, you're just trying to adjust. Pastor Joe, when he had his operation, I mean, when he had his fall, and poor Mary Chapel came to visit him, and honestly, he had just like, I was like trying to almost be a ventriloquist for him, so that, because I was like, I'm like, he means to say, thank you so much for coming. You know, I kept saying things like, he meant to say, you know what, that's very sweet of you. Because he was scowling. They would just look at her and pass out. Like, then look at her like, kind of like, what are you doing in this room? But his body was trying to endure because of the pain. And endurance sometimes isn't pretty. And Paul talks about that. And Peter talks about it. And James talks about it. We understand what it looks like, you know. And it's throughout the epistles for us to help us. We even use another word for it. We call it suffering. So, but that's fine. And that's, we are expected, we are appointed unto these things, Paul said to the Thessalonians. You know, we're appointed to these things. So that's an amazing attribute for a Christian. A Christian, he or she can go 20 years, 30 years. They can endure. You know, I've been, ever since we got back from Eurocon in Poland, I started listening to these testimonies of people who, I mean, live testimony is very intense. And their endurance, their concentration, I said it last week, of living day to day. Like, that's their concentration. Endurance is a very interesting thing. And we know of Christians who have endured. You can, for years, maybe in certain instances, and actually you would say John on this island enduring and hating this thing, like not changing. Because also there's another type of thing. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if I love the world, the love of the Father is not in me. So in one sense, but is it to say that the love of, like, if I don't love the world, if I hate the world, does that mean the love of the Father is in me? No, it actually doesn't. To hate the world doesn't mean that I love God. And honestly, if we sit here for a second, it's unfortunate, but every one of us can think of people that we have known, and unfortunately, they have been a poor testimony of that fact. I mean, a great testimony of that fact, but a poor testimony of the love of God. They have been a poor testimony because they have shown us what to hate, but they have not shown us what to love. And honestly, I would say that, and if we're honest with ourselves, and at least I can say if I'm honest with myself, there are times where that can be the case, personally. It's sometimes easier to hate sin than it is to love the sinner. And I'm supposed to hate the sin, but I am supposed to love the sinner. And maybe this is what's very important about this portion that we're reading, is that, and this is the bothersome part. He said, I love that you hate, but I hate that you don't love. That's what he's saying. I love that you hate. but I hate that you don't love. I don't like he said, I like that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, but do you love the Nicolaitans? And this is key for us, because that is not, it's so important to God that if you read the next verse, what did he say is going to happen? He said, if you don't clear this up, he says, I am going to come and take your candlestick, which means basically I am going to wipe your church away. But why, God, why would you do that? Why would that be so important for you to do that? Because it's a poor testimony of who I am. Moses was punished, but not chastised by God, and not allowed to go into the promised land because he misrepresented God. God told him, I want you to speak to the rock and it will flow with water. But he was so angry with the Israelites that he struck the rock. Now God let water flow out of it, but he's like, you don't get to misrepresent my character. And that is a challenge for us as teachers and as parents and as adults and as body members. To be angry to the point, be ye angry and sin not. To be up, that's an important verse for us. To be upset, to not hold the grudge, to not be bitter, to not let this thing go down and secretly be wounded so that I let this relationship, to do whatever I can. And Paul said, he said, fight to keep the unity. Paul said, listen, there are going to be things that come in the path that are going to affect what could knock out your love if possible. Don't let it. And so serious to God, that he says, I'm going to remove your candlestick. I'm going to take it away. Why? Because I don't want the world to know that as Christianity. I'm not interested in the world knowing your hate as Christianity. I'm interested in the world knowing your love as Christianity. By this shall all men know that you were my disciples, but that you love one another. And the Father loves you, so he sent me. Love. You can't fake that, really. You can't fake it, really. People know. Kids know. That's why, I mean, I'm careful about I'm close to this or whatever. Honestly, I am not worried about whether that, and I don't say this like in a whatever way, but I know I'm right. I'm not worried about whether those kids know that I love them. Have you ever wondered whether I knew, loved you, Alyssa? Jordan? You, yes or no? No, show the truth. Have you ever wondered? Okay. Like, honestly, I don't know that. I don't believe that's the case. Now, have I had to come heavy against both of you? You just happened to be in the room, so just so you know. If it wasn't you, I would say in general. So unfortunately, you're live examples. But it's true, right? You know, that's true. I've had to, but have I altered my behavior afterwards? Has it been that I treated you differently later because of that? Okay. Now, I don't say that because of anything else. I say that to say because there's no special feather in my cap. I'm commanded to do so. In fact, when he speaks of continue you my love, he says, follow my commandments. Love one another. Love one another. That's a command. I love when people want to command, you should do this, you should do that, how dare you do this, whatever. But I don't ever hear this other command being, I should love you. And maybe it's kind of, I've made a special like thing in my life where I kind of say, I will come strong just as much as that. Like 2 days ago, I had to tell you, I had a situation and constantly had to remove this student. And then finally, I'm just like, I'm in another room with the student. I said, oh, and I just say, hey, you know, I love you so much that I'm going to continue to fight you. And I know wouldn't even acknowledge me. Next time I talk to a student, but it's calculated. Because you know what? I believe this book that love always wins. I know I'm going to win. You can fight, you can give me, you can turn your back on me, you can hate me, but I'm going to win in any way possible that I possibly can. I can't make your choices for you. I can't stop you from making bad choices, but I can love you. He said in John 13 that he loved them until the end. I don't ever need to stop loving somebody, and I can love them and hate their sin at the same time. But my hatred of their sin should not be in such a way that they don't know that they're loved. Christ calls Peter Satan and says, get thee behind him. But isn't it interesting that Peter continues to follow Christ? Why? Because he knows that he's loved and he's supposed to be there. God was going to take out or wipe out the candlestick of this church because he did not want it to be known around of Grace Words Bible Church, you know, the church that hates everything and loves nobody. It doesn't work. That church is not going to last long. Here's the thing. It's not attractive. Even if God didn't come, it was going to dwindle down because that's not attractive. The Bible says the common people heard him gladly. The common people were attracted to God, Christ. The kids ran up to him and sat on his knee. They were attracted to him. Why? It wasn't a gushy, cushy kind of love. He was just who he was. This is the same man that couldn't bear that the mom was crying as her son was being carried away in a funeral and stops the processional, heals the son. That follows the father, Jairus' daughter, so that he can heal that little girl. Who takes time, who he and God decided in eternity past that, hey, when I come into my own, let me have 3 good years of just walking about and loving and healing people before I die for them. That's love. I don't want to just come and die on the cross because that's my main mission, but I really want to be able to minister to these people before I go. For us, this is important. God is saying, listen, I'm against you. You think that I'm with you. You think that your protestations I'm with. I love that you hate, but I hate that you don't love. These ought you to do and not to leave the other undone. You are to love not the world, but you are to love the brethren and each other. You are commanded to. And there are times when adults and children get under each one of our skins and personality is and can be not fun. But I'm commanded to think at the end of the day that I love this person. And I don't know what that means. I'm not saying it's always you can sit in the same seat with them, so to speak. It may not always agree. But my heart, I don't want my heart closed because this is the interesting thing. Hate only shrivels the heart. Love opens it. So it's in my best interest, personally. It's selfish. It's important that I love. It's important that I love those kids for my sake as much as for their sake. Otherwise, I will shrivel up. My personality will be bitter. People will not want to be around me. I know I can raise my voice and I can go toe to toe with those kids, that's not my main mission in life. You know, and so if it's not your main mission, if your main mission is to think about ways that you can help that child out, that will come across. We will stand out. They will notice that, because I did. I was thinking about it the other day when I came into the church around 13, and then how people just would hug me and tell me they loved them. Loved me. And I never said a word back. This went on for some time. But I would keep coming to the church. Sometimes it was like an hour walk. And I'd show up. And it's like, hey, Latasha. They'd hug me and say, I love you. And I didn't even give them anything. But I was taking it in. I just was like, I had no capacity to put my arms around that person. But I just couldn't believe that they were telling me that. So I just kept coming back. So that's why I can dogmatically say, I know I'm going to win. Because I was one. It's easy. It's not rocket science for me. You know, they cracked that. They didn't come around and say, Latasha, I need to discuss a few things with you. I've noticed a few things. And I'm going to tell you, I don't like them in your life. Now, they probably did what I did wrong, but that's not the memory I have of them. The memory I have is the love that they showed me and that they were for me. And so, yes, hate is important. But I hate the sin and love the sinner. Accountability, absolutely. Make people responsible. Children responsible, rather. But we have to have the signature. The signature of our church should be on every level, from the highest to the lowest, that we love one another. You can't help but see that. Easter morning, I think John said it best, you know, it was just one of those things. You could sense it. You could sense it. You could cut it with a knife. And it was so apparent. And I just think that we have to have that. We really do. Or else, actually, here's the problem. Or else we're the ones sick at heart. Honestly. And it's, you know, okay if we're sick. And then maybe I can pray for that person. Or maybe I would say, pray for me. But honestly, I beg of you that. Pray for me if I stop loving. Other things can be fixed. But if I stop loving, that's dangerous. It's dangerous for my physical health. I've seen that. Have you ever been around a really bitter person and their physical health begins to deteriorate? Yep. It's just not what we were meant to be and meant to do. And then have you ever been, I love going to a nursing home, and one of the reasons I always find that person. And I did the last time we went a few weeks ago on a Saturday morning. And he or she is different. They stand out. They got that little smile for you. You get more from them than they ever give to you. And I was a church organist. I'm like, this woman is gold. She is gold. You can't but help but love that. We were in Brooklyn this past weekend, and there's this woman, and she's older too. And she sang the song, I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel. She loves children. And as she was singing, I just said to myself, she's my hero. And she called me today. She's got to be like in late 70s. She can barely move, but she, my gosh. I mean, she can move, but it's just, I can tell the pain sometimes. But her love for kids and her love for the body of Christ, and she's got this newness. I love it. It's that she has vision. That blesses me because she has it. That's a hero. We're always going to be disappointed. We're always going to whatever. But I need to look, be able to look and say, do I love? If I'm going to correct, I have to be able to love. Or I shouldn't correct. Galatians 6:1 is very key. You don't correct unless you love. Until I can love, then I shouldn't correct. It's basic. I need to fix me. And then when I do it, I'll be okay. Because I want to be okay at the end of it. And also, a couple more things. One of the other things is, if the less I love, the smaller my world gets. Before you know it, it's just going to be me in that world. Because I'm going to find everybody else a reason not to love them. And if I begin to find a few, like in one sense we could almost say that I'm going to take your candlestick, but maybe God wouldn't have had much to do. Because eventually, all the things I hate with the group that I hate, I'll find things to hate within the group. You understand? And that's just like love starts internally and it's contagious outwardly. Hatred, if it starts outwardly, will begin to eat inwardly. I'm going to find maybe we all hate something, but sooner or later we're all not going to love each other. Because hate has never bound, it's not binding in a lasting bind. And you can say, well, you know, there are groups. We have the Nazis, we have the KKK, what have you. And it's binding, but it's not lasting. Because love conquers all. Love never fails. Not hatred. Love never fails. So, I don't know. I just, I want, these are ways to continue to the end, because I will be blessed by God if I continue to love and honor. I'm not always going to agree. There'll be times when I seriously disagree, and it could be long periods of time I disagree. But I will be rewarded to the degree that I love. I mean, really love. That's an amazing thing. So we should pray for one another, pray for our church at large, pray for Christians around us. You know, because some of them have a good game. And there are those who I would call lovers of the cross. And one of my favorites is, doesn't even go to this church. His name's Jeff Packard. But that man loves. He finds something in every church to love. He searches it out. He seeks it out in a person. He makes it his mission to love. And I love that about him. He's one of my heroes. Not even in his ministry. But I just love him. And I love that about him. So I want to love. And I don't need to be liked. But I want to be able to look someone in the eye and know, and I want them to read my eyes and not find any haze. There's and no veil in my eyes. I want them to read them and to go right through me and know that there's nothing. There's nothing. There's no secretly when you leave the room, Latasha, you have something else that you don't really love this person. Whatever. I want them to know. And that's I do my best that way. Because I don't want to live another way. It's fake. And that's hard. That takes a lot of effort to live fake. And honestly, I'm too tired physically to live that way. But I just want it to be real. You know? Like I remember, you know that Craig and Shantae have joined our church and he said to me, he said, you knew, didn't you? I'm like, yeah. He goes, how did you know that one day we would come? It's been 4 years and you've never said a word to us. I said, because we gave up something to move up here. And I had to, and I believe that God would win. And so I figured we will love everything that God puts us in front of. And that was this group of men and women that God did that, who started everything, really, in the Shiloh Baptist Church. And so then we could trust. We could just trust God, but just to love them. No strings attached. You don't have to join our ministry. And I told him, I said, we left everything. Do you understand that? Like, because it's like, and it dawned on them. It's like, yeah, because we left more than what anyone here in York left. We left Baltimore. That's why Pastor Brian Lange made me think, yeah, right. So we left it for love's sake. That's it. So if you keep that, hear that amen, if you keep that in mind, then everything else is really unimportant. You know? You enjoy it. You know? And you just enjoy it. You enjoy the momentum of it, whatever, and keep the small things small and whatever. Everything will work itself out. And if they're, you know, if people are going through things and if they hate or whatever, that's on them. You can't change my love because of your hate. It doesn't work that way. No one can do that. My love is the stuff that lets me sleep at night. How can somebody sleep with hate at night? It's hard. It's very hard. I want to know that I put my head on the pillow and I believe, and I want the best for people. The older I get, the more important that is. It doesn't mean people agree with me or like me, or even like me, but I do want to know that that's in my heart. Like, and these are, so I'm telling you that these are the highest principles that we could ever want. It does, if we will not outgrow this message. This will not be a new message and a new thing I say unto you, hate, you know, or and then a new thing I say unto you, knowledge is better. Knowledge, it puffs up, but love edifies. There's no new thing. It's the old thing that's the new thing. Because the world doesn't love. There's a lot of hatred. I was in Baltimore today and I was reminded of it. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, wow, this is what, forgettable, I forgot about this, what this feels like, you know. So, but I want to still love, because that's what God put inside of us. I think that's really what I want to say, but this is the first church he talked to. And he said, this is what I'm missing. I so am missing this. He said, I'm against you. And I don't want God against me. Okay. Any comments or questions? Simple message, right? It's not like.
But it realigns everything. It puts the right things in focus, and like all the little foxes that spoil the minds, like all of a sudden everything is exposed. Like it's all brought to the light. It's like, wait a minute, what are we about?
I like that. You know what I like about it? One of the most things, it's the instant. Things sometimes get. I don't know how about you, but sometimes things get muddled in my head. Like, I can't figure out which is right, what's wrong, whatever. I don't know who to agree with, who to not, whatever. I don't know. And then I have to ask myself, it's a quick check for me. It's my most, here's a secret into my life. It's the fastest check. Is there love here, Latasha, in your heart? Because if there isn't, then I know it begins with me. That's my fastest check. I don't really care how what the other person is like. I don't care. I don't care if they're burning down my house. But can I honestly say that I love this person? And one of the checks I can know I have is that if I'm willing to pray for them, not against them, not about them, but if I'm willing to pray for them. And I honestly believe those words. Then honestly, it doesn't really even matter what anyone else thinks or how they think. I'm fine. I'm fine because I know my heart is pure, and not, you know, in the sense of I know that the Father's love is there, and that's all that needs to be there. It's my fastest check. Now, when that is not the case, that's usually a little bit of Jesus time. And sometimes it's quietness and whatever, but I know that there's no use trying to have an opinion or thought or try to connect any dots until I can fix that. That's just so important for me. Because that's Christ's dying words. He spent chapters of it in the book of John basically talking about love. So it's like we have the chapter of love in 1 Corinthians 13. I have to have that right. So sometimes when we go against each other, you know, as Christians, I just say, like, I'm like, can't we find a middle ground called love? Actually, God said that. I was thinking about it. I didn't get to it, but the example of Jonah. The biggest problem is like Jonah, so you don't love the Ninevites? Right there, that should have been his check. And that's why one of the things is actually God says to him his question, doest thou well to be angry? Like, do you have a reason to be angry over, you know, whether it's a plant over him or not? It's just basically God was revealing his heart to him, or whether it's over plant, whether it's over people, whatever. There's a heart problem here, Jonah. Do you well to be angry? And if there's anger, people can spew about each other, whether it's through social media or privacy of their own homes or whatever. That's the problem. And for me, that's when I go quieter. And one of the reasons I'm never going to be on social media, because, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me. I got to fix me. And if people want to spew about me or about other people or whatever, I still need to, that's not going to help me. I got to make sure I'm on target. Love. Tasha, can you love this person? Do you love this person? Because the Father's love is in you. That's incredible. That's important. And it, honestly, it's, and that other thing, maybe a person will never love me, but that'll be okay because I will have the love of the Father in my backcourt. That's why I'm trying to say it's important for me to have it, because I can't, I may not be able to fix, like if there's something between Lily and myself, I may never be able to fix. I could come in 15 different ways, but it's okay because I know in my heart is love. I know that God will, I won't be shrinking in my life. I won't be shrinking my world, and I know that God will bless me. You know? But if I can't, but if I don't have the love, you know, and with my best, then that's the problem. Then I need to, like, you know, okay, Lord, help me. And I've had to. This is not one of those, you know, I'm at home and I've got the, no, I've had to, Lord, help me. Lord, help me, because it's easy. Because I'm hurt, because I'm offended, because I didn't like, Lord, help me, please help me. And that's what he's there for. That's what I love about God. That's exactly what he's there for. Who else am I going to talk to about this? No, it shouldn't be other people. It should be with God. He's the only one who gives me power to love. Irene can't give me power to love Lily. Irene, please help me. You know, only God can fix my heart, God. Love it. That's a great prayer. Fix my heart. It's one of my favorite. Fix my heart. Who else can do that? Who else can you go? It's like I went to the hairdresser and got my hair done. I said, fix my hair. I'm ready to shave it off. And I was. It was horrific. But I didn't have time for Easter. It's the first time I didn't have my hair the way I wanted it for Easter. I know that's traumatic for you guys. But you know what? But I go to her, and I said, you know what I said to her? And the other hairdresser said, look at you. And I said, that's why I come to her, because she's my last resort. I've had her for like 30 years. I walk in there without appointment, and I walked into the seat, and whatever. And she's like, I sneak you in, whatever. But that's the privilege of my relationship with her of 30 years. Now, she's like, she's at this point has done hair on the highest level, New York, whatever, her average. I mean, I got a discount for Niasha at $100 for something, you know, and that was maybe about a $400 thing process. Well, she'll have to get her own. But guess, because I had already dragged in, guess who I dragged in with me today? Mr. Ka. So, yeah. But he only now wants to go to mine because she's good. She's that good. She owns a salon. She's in Timonium, Maryland. And it's the top and what have you. But I knew her when she was nobody. She's Dominican and Puerto Rican mixed. And I knew her when she was nobody that many years ago. And I was one of her, and I stuck with her. There's this small, before my mom, I brought my mom to her. I brought a lot of people to her. But I've known her forever. And so there's, and I say that to explain, like, that's our relationship with God. So I can walk in, and she doesn't say a word. She doesn't like, she's never once, in fact, honest, and this is true. Because she's gone to her, I've taken her, I had Gwen's hair repaired when it was no one could do anything. But when I go in there, my hair's like a wreck or whatever, and she never ever says anything negative to me about my hair. I'm even trying to get, I'm like, I know it's like it's a wreck. I don't know if whatever. She'll say, stop talking like that. You know, she still has this accent after like being in the States forever. I love that about her, because she hides it. She doesn't like make a big deal of it. But there's a relationship where I can walk in there where no one else can. And these people have money. They're dropping a lot of money. And very often I'm slipping people in for free. I'm coming in, I'm like, hey, she doesn't have to pay. How many times have you not paid? Like more times than I can count. Like, and she does it, but I can ask her, because she loves me. Do you understand? Like, the Father loves me, so I can go to him and say, fix my heart. Not my, you know, I ask her, fix my hair. I say, God, fix my heart. Because I know you love me. Help me love this person, this situation, this whatever. Because you love me. Fix my heart. I can actually, I don't have to condemn myself. Say, I can't believe I don't love. That is so wrong. I can't stand this person, but I shouldn't. I should love them. You know, you're never going to win that battle. And I guess this is my final little blurb on this. You're not going to, let me just tell you, don't battle that. You're never going to win. I need to love. Okay. But I can't stand. I'm angry now. I don't win that. I kind of let the roller coaster come to a stop. The emotions, I'm upset. Okay, now calm. It's going to maybe take a little bit. And I just kind of like let it happen. But I'm like, okay, God, fix me. It's like going to the hairdresser today. I'm like, either shave it or fix it. And she kind of always, she laughs all every time. Because I'm like, I honestly thought this was the time you're not going to be able to. And she's like, no. But she does it, you know. I come in desperate every time. I'm not like the other ones. They're regulars. They're like there every 2-3 weeks. Who can pop drop like $200-$300 every 2 weeks? It's crazy stuff. But anyway, that's another story. But also, I mean, there many of them kind of like they're rich. They're dressed a certain way or whatever. And I'm like, you know, I had my school shirt on. You know, I'm just kind of slipping in and they're kind of looking at me because she took me right away because I'm me. And you know, that's a great picture of our love with God, right? It's like, he's going to take me right away. God doesn't say, okay, hold that prayer, get in line. Look at you. Look, he doesn't do that, right? God doesn't say, like, look at you, what the mess you are. He doesn't do that. I don't get in line with God. Not like the old days, even like to bring my sacrifice. I talk to him right away. He takes I raise my fist at him. Are you even there? And he still loves me, you know. He just loves me. So I can say, fix me, help me to love. And I can honestly tell you, before God, there is not any love in my heart that he didn't put there. Seriously, guys. I don't naturally love. He has only ever been the one who put the love in my heart. I just don't. No one really does, but maybe they don't know that they don't. So it's easy when I can say these things and people will see the truth in my eyes because I know I didn't put it there. God put it there. And I would say, like, let's live a life where God puts that in our heart. I'm not talking about sentimentality. I mean, if the other side of me, people will know, is that I drop the hammer if I think I need to. Or I won't push and push if I think I need to. But God has made my heart soft. That's what Job said. And it's true. And God has made me to love. And I think I shared that story, and I've shared the story often, but it's the story of my life. So sometimes those things happen. I just have one life. But I started my freshman year in Bible college, and I didn't love anything and anybody. But I knew I was loved by God. That was it. And all the outreaches, I couldn't stand. I hated them. I really did. I tried to avoid them, but you had to go on them and not flunk. I tried to, like, sleep in and hope they didn't see me. I mean, I did everything. And then I was condemning myself most of the time because until I met someone who mentored me, and she said these words I never forgot, it's not natural to love a soul. It's okay not to love people, Latasha. And I realized, okay, great. So, like, it's just not natural. Like, God has to put, you know, work that through my life and put that in me. And from that point on, I remember things began to change. And if you know me now, I love outreach. I'm thinking about outreach and different things every day of the week. That's how I live. And I can say that to the glory of God, not in boasting, because he did all of that. I did none of it. I'm amazed. But I love thinking about ways that we can do better or help, you know? Honestly, what other mad woman or a vice principal takes their eighth graders and seventh graders to a college campus. Like, I'm always going to be thinking by God's grace ahead for what's of, because I want them to have the best. And I love our church, and I love everyone in our church. And I honestly can say that. And that's what I love, is that, like, if you were to cut me open, it's going to be the same. But, and I say this because this is a women's Bible study, that that's an important place to get to, because we can live, especially as women, in bitterness and wounds. And we have to get there. And also, guess what? I have to keep, that's something, keep yourselves in the love of God, it says in the book of Jude. So this is not one of those end and now I love the rest of my life. No, it's a daily decision. And to like let God kind of remind me of that, his burden, his love, and to, you know, kind of, he stokes the fire. He keeps stoking the fire. So, yeah. I think that's the thing. Like, not to kick ourselves if we don't right now. If you say, well, I'm ticked off and whatever, a lot of things. Okay. So, because the path to changing that is not going to be to beat yourself up. The path to changing that is to say, okay, God, this is where I'm at. I know this is really what you talked about in the Bible. I need you to put that in my heart. It's kind of simple. And I know that God does it because I'm sitting here as living proof. I don't have, like, a lot of fake stuff in me in that way. God just left that out on purpose, I guess. I am not a social animal. I am not, you know, let's just chit-chat over whatever. I only have conversations. I just don't. It's not in me. And that's just fine. So that's why I do appreciate watching God's love in me. It's like I'm watching this other self. Wow, that's amazing. You know, and I'm like, wow. I'm like, it's just wild, God. You are so good. So, anyway, yeah, that's it. That's on the first church. So we have six more to go, and we'll continue in the story in this thing that God has. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord.